Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Years ago, a friend of mine, he wasn't in a very religious family at all. His dad has a heart attack. And I said to my friend, well, Jeff, how's your dad doing? Oh, he's doing fine. But suddenly, dad's been going to church every Sunday. I said, really? He said, yeah, we think he's cramming for finals, meaning getting ready for Judgment Day. The purpose of this half hour is to ask the question, what will Judgment Day be like? And you know, sadly, most people don't even think about Judgment Day. It's not on their radar screen. There's a story. One night, a carload of Catholic nuns is going very slowly down the interstate. And the policeman pulls over the car, shines his light in the front seat. Sister, this is the interstate. Why were you driving 35 miles an hour? And she said, well, look, officer, see the sign? It says 35. And he said, no, that's the interstate number. It's not the speed limit. He turns the flashlight in the back seat, and here are some Catholic nuns just shaking. And he says, sister, is there something wrong? And they said, yeah, we just got off Highway 155. But my point is this. A lot of people head through this life at 155 miles an hour, not even thinking about the fact that one day the policeman's going to show up. It's called Judgment Day. I'm sorry, but I think of our president. Barack Obama says he's a Christian. He persecutes the Catholic Church by trying to force them to pay for contraceptives. He goes to Planned Parenthood, the biggest abortion provider in the United States. He fully supports Planned Parenthood. And Barack Obama says to Planned Parenthood, God bless you. President Obama has been promoting gay marriage now. Does he realize one day God is going to call him to account? Well, we're going to talk about Judgment Day now. In the Middle Ages, people thought about Judgment Day. If you go to the great ancient cathedrals in Europe, often above the door in sculptured stone is a picture of Judgment Day. Jesus sitting on his throne in the middle, the dead are being raised to heaven or pulled down into hell. And when they went to church in the Middle Ages, they were conscious of Judgment Day. So let's do this. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. And let's learn what Jesus said is going to happen on Judgment Day. Matthew 25, if you could take out your Bible, and let's pray. Father, we want to pray for everyone watching this program that if they rarely think about Judgment Day, that somehow you will put it into their heart and mind that it really is going to happen for each one of us. Teach us, Lord, now, and bring us all to repentance before it's too late. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Notice the word glory there twice. Here's the first thing to say about Judgment Day. The second coming of Christ will be in glory. Somebody asked me, well, Pastor Tom, when Jesus comes back the next time, where will He be born next time? And I had to say, no, the first time He came to earth, He was born on earth and was humble. Second time, He's not going to be born on earth. He's coming down in the clouds in glory, no mistaking who He is. There's a new cult now in Miami and Puerto Rico, and they are worshiping a man by the name of Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda, who claims to be the second coming of Christ. No, he's not floating down in the clouds. He's a fake. Reverend Sung Myung Moon, born in Korea in 1920, died a while ago. People worshiped him as the second coming of Christ. No, beware of false prophets. When Jesus comes back, no mistake, and it's glory. Look at verse 32. Before Him will be gathered all the nations. I want you to notice the word all. Here's the next lesson. Everyone will be raised and judged. Some cults teach that only believers will be raised from the dead. No, listen to what Jesus taught in John chapter 5. Do not marvel at this. The hour is coming when all who are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come out. Those that have done good to the resurrection of life, those that have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. In other words, everybody who's ever lived will be judged. Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, Mao Zedong, nobody gets away with anything. And finally, one day, there will be justice in this unjust world. It's called Judgment Day. Verse 32, and he, Jesus, will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Here's the next lesson. Jesus determines your destiny. So be good to him. You know, when I hear people say Jesus Christ like a swear word, I'm thinking, ouch. Do you realize Jesus will determine where you spend eternity? And you're going to use his name like you're dragging it through the mud? Verse 33, and he will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Here's the next lesson. Christian, the inheritance is coming, so hang in there. Let's talk about the word inheritance. I've told this story before, but I love this story. There is a story of a wealthy millionaire who had an only son. His wife had died, so it's just the millionaire and his little boy. He hires a famous artist to come paint a portrait of his 12-year-old son. He hangs the portrait over the mantle of the fireplace. And suddenly after that, the little boy dies. And Dad is heartbroken. He sits and he stares at that painting. And after a while, from a broken heart, the father died. No one is left to inherit the estate, so there's going to be an auction. Many people gather for the auction. The first item put on the auction block is the painting of the 12-year-old boy. And the auctioneer says, here's a painting by a famous portrait artist. Who will give me $500 for this painting? No one bid. Who will give me $100? Nobody. $50. Finally, who will give me $10 for this painting? There was an old scrub woman in the audience who used to work in the mansion, and she loved that little boy too, and she puts up her hand, I'll buy the painting. And the auctioneer said, the auction is over. The man stipulated in his will, whoever loves my son enough to buy this painting inherits the whole estate. You know, when you love the son, when you put your trust in Jesus, you know, let them do to you what they will. Trust in Christ. One day, you're going to get the whole estate. It's called Judgment Day. Verse 35, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. I want you to notice here, the sheep and the goats are separated by what they did, whether they fed, clothed, etc. So here's the next lesson. Judgment on Judgment Day will be according to works, what you did. This is a consistent theme throughout the New Testament, that on the last day, what you did will determine whether you're a sheep or a goat. Now, what do we do with that? Because doesn't the Bible teach we're saved by grace alone and not by our good works? That's exactly what it teaches. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we're saved by God's grace, not by human works, lest any man should boast. So why does Jesus say you'll be judged according to your works? Well, we don't want to believe the Bible contradicts itself, because it doesn't, because God is consistent. So I do think there's a way to put this together. Notice, we're judged by our works, but we're not saved by our works. And so try to follow this, please. I think this will help. Are we saved by God's grace alone, by what Jesus did on the cross? Yes, hallelujah. The only hope this sinner has on Judgment Day is what Christ did for me, period, not my good works. So we're saved by grace alone, but grace is not a puny, weak thing. Grace changes our lives. And if you're truly saved by grace, your life changes. Now, you won't be perfect. We still sin even after we're converted, but I sure am not what I would be if I wasn't converted. So we're saved by grace alone, but grace always changes your life. And somebody says, well, I'm a sheep, but they never follow Christ, then they're a goat. Because your life shows whether you've been saved by grace alone. Let's put it this way. Let's say that I tell you that I am on your high school football team. You say, well, Pastor Tom, you're way too old. You've never stepped foot in my high school. You don't know the coach. The coach doesn't know you. What do you mean you're on the football team? Well, there are people that do that. I'm a sheep. They never go to church. They never act like a sheep. They never feed the hungry, clothe the naked, etc. But they say I'm a sheep. No, they're not. If you're saved by grace alone, it shows. I went to a Calvinist pastor's conference some time ago, and there was one line that was worth the whole conference. The pastor said this, we are saved by grace alone, but grace never is alone. It always changes your life. And we're talking here direction, not perfection. You won't be perfect till you're in heaven. But if the direction of your life hasn't changed because of Christ, then you're a goat, even if you say you're a sheep. So just to sum this up, I hope you got that. We are saved by grace alone, hallelujah, not by our good works. But once we're saved by grace alone, bit by bit, God starts to change us. And then if there's been no change in your life because of Jesus, you're a goat. So let me ask you the big question from that verse. Do you feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, etc.? And if you never do anything like that, are you a sheep? Have you been saved by grace? You got to ask yourself that question. Verse 37. Then the righteous will answer Jesus, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Here's the next lesson. The saved unconsciously serve the Lord. Notice, these saved are not saying, Lord, I remember when I did this for you and did that. They basically say, really? I did that? And a Christian is someone who serves the Lord and is barely conscious of it. Verse 40, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Here, notice the word my brothers there. That's key. Here's the next lesson. When you serve a Christian, you're serving Jesus. If you want to be nice to Jesus, find some Christians who's hurting and be nice to him, and that is how you are nice to Jesus. But I want you to notice, I don't think this verse is teaching if you're nice to a lot of starving people, you'll go to heaven. Jesus says, my brothers. Those are the kinds of starving people he's talking here. I mean, for instance, Stalin the atheist, who killed millions, still fed the hungry. And the question, though, is how did Stalin treat Christ's brothers, the church? He was horrible to Christ's church. Ultimately, I think that what this text is teaching is the way you treat or accept or reject the apostles and their teaching is what determines your destiny. One scholar said this, Jesus' brothers are the disciples. The fate of the nations will be determined by how they responded to Jesus' followers, the apostles, who were charged with spreading the gospel and did so in face of hunger, thirst, illness, and imprisonment. Good deeds done to Jesus' followers, even the least of them, are not just works of compassion, but reflect where people stand to Jesus and the kingdom. So let me ask you this question. How do you treat the apostles and their teaching? That's called the New Testament. Do you follow the New Testament teaching? Do you hold this dear? And along with that, do you feed the hungry, visit the sick? And if you never do any of that, you got to ask yourself, am I really a sheep? I want to encourage you, go to persecution.org and start giving money and getting the free newsletter from International Christians Concern. It's the group, one of them, that's really helping Christians who are in prison overseas. Persecution.org. I was in prison and you visited me. One way you visit them is by giving them money so they can help these wives and their children that are starving. Next lesson here, verse 41. Then Jesus will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Here's the next lesson. Jesus will send people to hell. Now and then I ask somebody, When's the last time your pastor preached on hell? And I'll get the response, our pastor has never preached on hell. I have a friend who said to me, Tom, do you know the three tenets of liberal theology? Number one, God is nice. Number two, we too should be nice. Tenet number three, isn't that nice? Jesus is not being nice in this verse. He is sending people to hell. Now, recently Pope Francis said something he should not have said. And I read it, and the way people interpreted it, and I don't know how else to interpret it, he said, basically, that atheists who do good deeds will go to heaven. It caused a lot of stir even in the Catholic Church. Next day, the Vatican came out with a clarification, and it still wasn't, it was better, but it still wasn't that good. No, listen, you know, people say, well, my loving God would never send anybody to hell. And I'll say to them, are you a Christian? Well, yes. Well, then, have you read this verse where it says Jesus sends people to hell? And here's why he sends them to hell. Look at verse 42. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. Here's the next lesson. The way you mistreat the least Christian is the way you treat Jesus. Remember, the Apostle Paul was persecuting the church, and Jesus appears to Paul on the road to Damascus. And Jesus doesn't say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church? He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Because when you hurt another Christian, you're hurting Jesus. Verse 46, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Here's the last lesson, and this is the big one. Heaven and hell are eternal. Eternal heaven, eternal punishment, hell, that is, eternal punishment, heaven, eternal life. It was not until I started believing in eternal hell that I started really talking to my family and my friends about Jesus. The Seventh-day Adventists and the Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in eternal hell. They're annihilationists. They believe when you die, if you're an unbeliever, you're just wiped out. You're annihilated. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. He's talking about eternal punishment. Is it fair for Hitler to do what he did and then, boom, just be wiped out? No. And the truth is, not just Hitler, we all deserve eternal punishment. So praise the Lord for Jesus. I remember once I was about to preach, and an older person of our church says to me before I get up, Pastor Tom, do you know how long eternity is? I said, well, eternity is forever. And he said, eternity is this huge mountain made out of the hardest substance on earth, solid diamond. Once every 100 years, a little bird flies by, rubs its beak once on the top of the mountain, flies away. 100 years later, the bird flies by, rubs its beak once on the top, flies away. 100 years later, rubs his little beak. When that huge, solid diamond mountain is worn down to nothing, the first day of eternity has passed. When you die, you will either go to heaven for all eternity or hell for all eternity. Years ago, I remember seeing a Far Side cartoon that was funny, but not so funny. And here's a line of people going into the door of hell. Satan is standing next to the door smiling, and above the door is the sign, today is the first day of the rest of your life. I was at a church years ago where they showed a fictional movie on hell. It was a very powerful film. And I remember one lady coming out of there saying to the pastor, I will do whatever I have to, never to go to that place. And I will tell you, it's been said, if you and I could take an elevator and go down into hell and look at it for 5 minutes and come back up, we would never be the same on earth. Do you know how the Salvation Army was started? Back in 1865 in London, an atheist came up to William Booth and said, if I believed like you Christians say you believed about an eternal hell, I would crawl on my knees on crushed glass all over London, screaming for people to repent. And that comment so shook William Booth, he founded the Salvation Army. So let me close. I want to ask you the big question from this. Do you feed the hungry? Do you clothe the naked? Do you visit the sick? Do you care about getting the gospel out, spreading the apostles' teaching so people can be saved? Do you care that there are Christians sitting in jail in Indonesia? I mean, do you care about any? And if you don't care about any of that stuff, are you a sheep? Have you been saved by grace alone? That's what this is asking you today. I'll just close with this. Yesterday, I'm on my bike, and I'm riding my bike, and here comes a dog running. I've never seen anything like this. The dog is just running, running, and he's running into traffic. And the cars will stop, and then he'll run off, and then he'll run back. And I mean, most dogs don't do that. The dog was either really dumb or crazy. But I followed this dog on my bike thinking, and I prayed for that dog. I mean, this was weird. And finally, the dog kind of went off off the road. But, you know, people are like that. They're running through life at 100 miles an hour and don't seem to realize our behavior has consequences. It's called Judgment Day. We don't get away with anything. So I want to urge you, if you have never turned to Jesus and said, God, forgive my sins. I want to put my faith in you, and I want to follow you from now on. You know, we need to do that. If you've never done that, I encourage you to do that before this day is out, because you never know when Judgment Day will hit. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we now ask Pastor Brock to share with us his knowledge of Scripture and his insights to answer questions we have regarding the Bible, our Lord, and our everyday walk with Him. Pastor Brock, before I ask you a question, you talked about the website persecution.org.
Yes.
Is it persecution.org or persecution.com?
It's .org.
Okay.
If you go to persecution.org, you'll get International Christians Concerned. They'll send you a free newsletter once a month telling you what's happening in Indonesia, Turkey, and you pray for these people.
I just wanted to clarify that, because if you wrote that down when you were taking notes during the sermon, we made an error in that graphic.
.org.
So it's .org. Okay. Pastor Brock, does Judgment Day happen when you die, or do we stay asleep until the end and Judgment Day is for everybody?
Mm-hmm. You know, we're all going to die, and a mini judgment takes place when you die, because God will send you to heaven or hell. But Judgment Day itself happens at the end of time for everybody when Christ comes down at the second coming. So even the dead in hell and the Christians in heaven are waiting for Judgment Day. And Christians will be rewarded differently, according to, 1 Corinthians 3. Some Christians go to heaven with great rewards, some go into heaven, but not with great rewards. But Judgment Day happens at the very end of time.
So people who are in hell will be judged also on Judgment Day?
It says they will be raised and they will be judged.
So they will be raised to be judged,
yes,
but then returned to hell?
Something like that. I don't know how to put all of it together, Jackie, but that's what I would say, yeah.
Okay. So will anyone who feeds the hungry and helps people to go to heaven?
Yeah.
Or do they really have to believe in Jesus?
Right.
I mean, we've
got
some really fantastic organizations out there and people that give money to it and everything and that. But if they don't really believe in Jesus and are using their money for doing things?
Well, some people say Gandhi was such a wonderful man. Of course he's in heaven. President Obama said, my mother was an unbeliever, but she was a kind woman. Of course she's in heaven. Well, that's not the teaching of the New Testament.
Okay.
And the new this is not me making this up. This is Jesus in John 14:6 saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, period. You've got the apostles saying in Acts chapter 4, and these are Jewish apostles. Peter says, to the Jews, it is there is one name given under heaven by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus. So, you know, somebody, again, Stalin fed the hungry, and Stalin killed millions, and he hated the church. So, again, some people take this Matthew 25 and try to make it say that as long as you're nice to hungry people, you're going to heaven. No, it's the way you treated his brothers. How did you treat Christians? How did you treat the apostolic teaching?
Okay, Pastor Brock, can you go over again what will heaven be like and what hell will be like? People have so many questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear people talk all the time about, will I know my mother? Will I know my father? I mean, if you don't see them, how are you going to be happy in heaven?
Yeah. Well, I do think you'll know that was my grandma, because Jesus said, you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven.
And I've never seen them.
So if I'm going to recognize that was Abraham, I think God will somehow show me that was grandma. Now, what if grandma was an unbeliever and she's in hell and you don't see her? Well, you would grieve for eternity. You know, God has a way of putting, the thing about heaven, it's eternal joy in the presence of Christ, worshiping the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The fact that your grandma might not or not or is or isn't there, I don't think will be an issue for you.
Is hell going to be a visual thing too?
Yeah, let's talk about hell. Some people think the devil is running hell. No way, Jackie. First of all, the devil is not in hell yet. The Bible says he's running to and fro on earth, seeking whom he will to devour. He'll be in hell on the last day. But right now, the devil's on earth. And it never says the devil runs hell. My guess is he'll have the lowest rung in hell because he was so evil. And, you know, Jackie, the thing that's awesome, and we got to, once you're in heaven, you're there for eternity. Once you're in hell, you're there for eternity. You never get out, which is why we need to come to Christ now, not a week from now.
Pastor Brock, that brings up a question. You know, we all sin every day of our lives. I mean, thought, word, or deed, mm-hmm. and have to ask God to forgive us. Mm-hmm. Will we stop sinning if we get to heaven?
Yes.
You know, that's good news.
Somebody asked me that. Will I be tempted to sin in heaven? No. That's what makes heaven heaven. It's a pure place where there is no sin. You'll never get kicked out because you'll never sin up there.
Okay, one quick question.
Yeah.
Is there any possibility of getting out of hell?
No. Once you're there, you're there.
Okay.
Read Luke 15, the guy, or is it 16? The guy's begging to get out of hell, and Abraham says, nope.
Okay, maybe on another show I have another question for you, but we'll have to wait for
okay.
that. Thanks for joining us at the Pastor's Study. We have our website. It'll come up at the end of the program. Check it out and see what the Pastor's Study is doing now, how you can become a part of it or help, or pass it on to someone that you'd like to see one of our shows or view some of our other shows. Thanks for being with us. We pray God would grant you his richest blessings until we're together again next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.